Dr. Pinsky with a female IMN, Rushi, R-U-S-H-I-E, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-L-R. Rushi Taylor presented to her office, but was unable to complete intake paperwork due to her left hand injury. Appears she is left hand dominant. Paired with the assistance of our staff, she conveyed that on 5/21/21, she was seeing a patient and became injured. Appears she had a cyst on her wrist. Appears she did go to the emergency room afterwards. Period. She had further evaluation leading to a diagnosis of ganglion cyst and tendonitis that were treated surgically in 2022. Appears she has completed her course of active treatment. Appears she admits to not being aware she had a cyst on her hand until the subject incident. Appears she denies any subsequent injuries to the involved areas. Period in paragraph, as per her claim petition, she alleged assisting a resident with changing and using the bathroom when she injured her left wrist. Period medical records show she was seen at the emergency room on 5/21/22. Period, she had a history of hypertension, diabetes, distant history of alcohol and drug abuse, who presented with left wrist pain. Appeared she works at a group home and was assisting changing a patient who had an accident. Appeared she believes she may have struck the wrist. Period. She was examined and found to have mild swelling over the mobile aspect of the left wrist, where there was also pain. Period. X-rays of the wrist showed no acute abnormalities. Period. She was diagnosed with scratch that. She was treated and released. Period. She followed up at WorkNet on 5/26/22. Period. This time she stated she was not exactly sure of the mechanism of her injury, but noticed radial-sided wrist pain while changing a client. Appeared she denied any prior history of pain or injury to this area. Period. It was noted at the ER she was diagnosed with a left wrist sprain. Period. She was given a brace and a prescription for ibuprofen. Appeared she was complaining that the metal in the wrist brace came out and scratched her forearm, so she is requesting a new wrist brace. Period. Exam found subjective pain about the radial aspect of the wrist. Appeared she demonstrated limited end range of motion in all planes. Appeared there was minimal swelling in the radial aspect of the wrist, but no deformity or ecchymosis. Appeared strength was 2/5. Appeared provocative maneuvers were negative, but pain was elicited during palpation of the radial aspect of the wrist. Period. She was again diagnosed with a left wrist sprain, for which she was advised to use gel ice packs. Period. She followed up here over the next few weeks, but remained symptomatic. Period. On 5/20, scratch that. On presented herself to the emergency room again on 5/30/22. Period. At the first ER visit, they noted a history of cervical disc herniation, as well as type 2 diabetes mellitus. Period. She also carried a diagnosis of generalized arthritis since 4/27/14. Period. The cervical disc herniation onset was 9/18/17. Period. She was diagnosed with hypertension beginning 5/24/21. appears she also had cervical verticillopathy since 11/9/17 period. She was on numerous medications period. One paragraph at the ER visit of 5/30/22. She was again examined. Giving a history of being a restrained driver in a motor vehicle accident when she was hit from behind. Appears she had pain in the neck, comma back, comma and right shoulder. Appears there was no airbag deployment. Period. She had x-rays of the cervical spine. And a CAT scan of the cervical spine. Period. These were compared to previous cervical radiographs done on 2/22/17. Appeared there was mild loss of lordosis, which may be positional. Appeared she had degenerative changes about the pre-dental space, probably have increased. Appeared there was anterior intercalary calcification of the annulus, NC4-5 and C6-7, with anterior and posterior spurs at C6-7. Appeared the vertebral bodies are normally aligned. Appeared there was no evidence of acute fracture and no focal suspicious osseous lesion. Appeared evaluation of the spinal canal and spinal cord is intrinsically limited on this modality. Period. There was disc space narrowing at C6-7. On these plain x-rays. Period. She also had x-rays of her shoulder, her right shoulder, that showed stable calcific tendonitis and degenerative changes, but no acute osseous abnormalities. Period. She was treated and released. Period. New paragraph. On 6/23/22, she underwent an MRI of the left wrist. Period. There was focal edema in the dorsal wrist, suggestive of a recently ruptured ganglion cyst. Period. There was tenosynovitis of the second, third, and fourth extensor compartments, without significant tendinosis or tear of the associated tendons. Period. She then was seen at Rothman by Dr. Wang, W-A-N-G, on 7/13/22. Period. He noted the results of the MRI. Period. Upon exam, he found a significant amount of guarding and mild swelling over the dorsal ulnar wrist. Appeared there was no distinct mass. Appeared, however, she does have diffuse pain over the extensor tendon, over the radial wrist extensor, pain over the second, third, and fourth extensor compartments, but negative ulnar-sided wrist pain. Period. She then agreed with him to pursue conservative care. Period. She saw Dr. Wang over the next several weeks, running through 10/19/22. Period. She was status post. Mass excision of the dorsal wrist from 9/1/22 and still reported residual pain and swelling with limited grip strength. Period. She was not currently taking medications for this. Period. incisions were healing well. Period. She demonstrated subjective grip strength, limited by pain, swelling, guarding, and co-contraction. Period. She was placed in a wrist brace. Period. She saw Dr. Wang through 10/19/22. Period on 9/1/22, Dr. Wang performed surgery to be inserted here. Period in paragraph on 4/24/23, Ms. Taylor underwent a need for treatment hand specialist consultation with Dr. Rekant, R-E-K-A-N-T. Period after reviewing her records and performing an evaluation, he diagnosed left wrist sprain and unrelated left wrist surgery. Period. He wrote there was insufficient evidence to indicate that ganglion cyst was causally related to any of her work activities, including those from 5/21/22. In fact, the MRI was suggestive of a ruptured ganglion, but there was no evidence of a ganglion being present. Period. It was also difficult to causally relate the need for posterior interosseous nerve neurectomy or extensive tenosynovitis in the presence of a dorsal ganglion. Period. He opined there was no need for ongoing hand or wrist therapy. Period. There was resultant unrelated wrist stiffness, most likely due to the surgical procedure that was not causally related to the 5/21/22 injury. Period. Physical exam. Extremities upper inspection revealed a healed linear scar on the dorsal aspect of the left wrist, measuring 1 3/4 inches in length. Period. There was also scarring about the left shoulder that she attributed to her motor vehicle accident. Period. Left wrist motion was guarded with extension lacking 5 degrees. Period. Flexion and ulnar deviation were full with tenderness but no crepitus. Period. Radial deviation was full without crepitus or tenderness. Period. Motion of the right wrist, both shoulders, elbows, and fingers was full in all planes without crepitus, tenderness, triggering, or locking. Period. Manual muscle testing was 5-5 for hand grasp compared to 5/5 on the left. Period. Strength was otherwise 5/5. Period. There was mild, non-localizing tenderness to palpation on the dorsal aspect of the left wrist, but there was none on the right. Hands, wrists, elbows, normal, cervical, normal. She alleged her left biceps was larger than the right, but it did not measure out this way. Period. She did have saggy adipose tissue, making accurate circumferential measurements difficult. Period. With hand dynamometry, she demonstrated a relatively flat line distribution indicative of limited volitional effort. Period. Impressions. Rashi Taylor alleges to have injured her left wrist at work on 5/21/22. Period. She has given inconsistent descriptions of the mechanism of injury. Period. At one point, she stated she did not know how her wrist got hurt. Period. She apparently already had a ganglion cyst on her wrist prior to this event. Period. After it occurred, she was seen in the emergency room. X-rays showed no acute abnormalities. Period. She was appropriately initiated on conservative care. Period. However, on 5/30/22, she was seen at the emergency room again after a motor vehicle accident. Period. Care for her left wrist resumed, and she had an MRI of the left forearm on 6/23/22 to be inserted here. Period. She then was seen by Dr. Wang, who performed surgery on 9/1/22 to be inserted here. Period. She followed up with him through 10/19/22, when he noted co-contraction indicative of symptom magnification. Period. Finally, she had a hand specialist consultation with Dr. Rekant on 4/24/23. Period. He opined that the cyst was unrelated to the alleged work incident. Period. This was also the case with respect to her surgery. Period. opening paragraph, the current examination found there to be somewhat decreased left wrist extension associated with tenderness, period. There was mild non-localizing tenderness to palpation on the dorsal aspect of the left wrist. Paired hand grasp was 5-5. Paired with hand dynamometry, she had a noticeably reduced magnitude of strength compared to the right. Paired her cervical spine exam was normal. Paired new paragraph, there is 5% permanent partial disability referable to the statutory left hand. Period. And that is the end.